Oh, I love introducing student presentations. It's one of my favorite parts about getting to do this each year. Next speaker I'd like to introduce, Rhonda Holloway, is an MPH candidate at Loma Linda University in the School of Global Health. She's also a member of a program very similar to what got me hooked in this field in Houston. She is a member of the Loma Linda Street Medicine Outreach Program.
It's already going ahead. Let's see, how do we go? Well, we can just leave it. Good morning. Hi, my name is Rhonda, and as he said, I'm a student at the School of Public Health at Loma Linda, and I'm here representing Loma Linda Street Medicine. And I worked on this project with three other students, Kurt Allen, Jennifer Eckersley, and Stacey Pham, but they were unable to attend today, so I'm the one here representing. And my presentation is titled, A Public Health Approach to Street Medicine. I have no relationships to disclose this time. So just kind of a quick background into what the Loma Linda Street Medicine Outreach is. So it began with a doctor at Loma Linda Medical Center. Her name was Dr. Toms, and she saw that there was a need in the homeless population. So she wanted to go out. She started what she called street rounds. So they would go out onto the streets of San Bernardino, and they would see homeless individuals on the streets along with some of the medical students there. But after a year, Dr. Toms ended up relocating to another area. But the students at the medical school saw that this is still something we need to continue to do because there are still needs in this community. So July of 2012, the Loma Linda Street Medicine Outreach was born. And just kind of to give you an outline of what it looks like, is we have weekly clinics either at a church or at a shelter or somewhere where the homeless generally gather. And then we also go out on the streets with our book bags, with medical supplies, with socks, with basic things to be able to give the homeless things that they need and to be able to give them referrals to some of the local clinics, things of that nature. And this is just an outline of when we go out on the streets, just for safety, of how it's planned out. Is there's one attending that's in charge of making sure that all the patients are healthy, as well as there's a team leader. This is someone who's already familiar with the homeless camp or park or wherever we may be going, so that they have a familiar face that the homeless are seeing. And then we have a peacekeeper. They're solely responsible for the safety of the group, so they're watching, looking around, seeing if situations are getting out of control, and they have a code word if we need to leave that area. And then lastly, the medical students. The slide has moved on. But this, in October of 2012, the School of Public Health partnered with the Street Medicine Organization. And we were charged with bringing a public health approach to street medicine, developing a project of how we can bring public health in collaboration with the medical students. So what we saw is that in San Bernardino, there wasn't a lot of information on specific health problems for the homeless. We do a point-in-time survey every year that gives you an idea of how many homeless there are within that county, but we don't have specific information on what their health needs are. So we decided that we were going to do a comprehensive mixed methods needs and assets assessment to bridge this gap that would both benefit street medicine as well as other providers for the homeless. And this is just to give you an idea for those who aren't familiar with San Bernardino. So this is a GIS map that the teaching assistant for our project actually developed. So those little red dots, those are different homeless camps. And then the purple, those are clinics. So this is just one of the maps just to show how close are free clinics. So we have the Saks Clinic and the 8th Street Clinic. And just for reference, the Saks Clinic, the little dot over there, that's about a 2-mile radius. So it's quite a big gap between the nearest clinic to the homeless population. And you can see how spread out it is. So they're spread out all over the city. And our methods, we use a mixed methods approach. So we use both qualitative and quantitative portion for our research. And for the quantitative portion, we completed a survey with 100 homeless individuals from all over the city. And we have 56 men in our survey and 44 women. And these are some of the locations where we did our survey. The Central City Lutheran Mission, which is a cold weather shelter for men. That's one of the places we did it. And the Mary's Mercy Center is a soup kitchen for the homeless and the low income. And then the Salvation Army has two locations. They have the Salvation Army Corps, where they serve meals to the homeless every day, as well as a transitional, we did it at the Salvation Army's Transitional Housing Center for Women and Children. Next, we did a police ride-along with the homeless coordinator for the San Bernardino Police Department, and this allowed us to go to a lot of secluded camps that you wouldn't be able to go to without a police escort, because they're in places where you couldn't be seen once you go in, and it'd be dangerous for us to go without police supervision. And next, we went to the Helping Hands Pantry. This is one of the major food pantries in San Bernardino, and they do they drive their truck and they go out and they deliver food to the homeless. So one of our members volunteered to drive the truck that week, and while we were giving out food, we also did surveys. And lastly, Relive Thrift. It's a program through the Loma Linda University Church. It's in partnership with a transitional living program where they identify homeless individuals, and they join this program where they get a place to live, as well as they are able to learn skills working in the Relive Thrift store. So we did some interviews with some of those homeless to get the perspective for those that are currently on the street versus those that are moving in transitional living. So our qualitative continued. We did a windshield survey where we just drove around downtown San Bernardino, which is where a lot of the homeless frequent. So just to get an understanding of what kind of things they have access to, how are they living, and things of that nature. And we also did key informant interviews with homeless individuals, both on the streets and in shelters. And we used our partners, some of the ones I mentioned before, to help identify the best homeless to interview. And we interviewed 3 men and 1 woman. And just kind of the reason why we had a lot more men is on the streets, women represent an extremely vulnerable population. So it's really hard to be able to find women on the streets because they're usually hidden on the streets, and female shelters tend to be women and children's shelters. So they're really difficult to get in. So we weren't able to get into a women and children's shelter until close to the end of our project. And we also did key informant interviews with service providers. And these are those service providers listed below. We did it with the director of the Central City Lutheran Mission. That's the men's cold weather shelter I mentioned earlier. We did it with a caseworker from the St. Bernardines Medical Center. The SACS clinic, or the Social Action Community Health Clinic. This is actually a clinic started by Loma Linda, but it's now owned by the county. It primarily targets the uninsured, those who have nowhere else to go for health care. And then we also did key informant interviews with the student director of street medicine, as well as one of their key physicians. And then for our continuing our qualitative methods, we did a focus group with women at a transitional living center. This was to balance the perspectives. So since we had gotten a lot of key informant interviews with men, we wanted to get the female perspective at this transitional living center. And we also did an informal key informant interview during our police ride-along with law enforcement. Okay, and this is just a picture, just to kind of give you an idea of what homelessness looks like in San Bernardino. In the back, you can see 2 police, and the homeless coordinator as well as her partner. And what you can't see is one of our group members is giving a survey to these men in the corner. So this just gives you, this is underneath the bridge, what homelessness kind of looks like in San Bernardino. And now for our results. First, what we want to know is what's the age group of the homeless population in San Bernardino? So what we found is that you see it on the graph that the largest group was between 44 to 54, and then right after that, 55 to 64. So there's a high concentration within the slides are going a little ahead of me, but a high concentration within the middle-aged population in San Bernardino. And next, we wanted to see how long have the homeless been on the streets. Because one thing we found when we did our literature review is there was a rise in homeless after San Bernardino declared Chapter 1 bankruptcy. And we wanted to see if there were a lot of new homeless on the street. And we found that that was so, according to our research, that the majority have only been on the street 6 months. Then there's also a high population that have only been on the street 6 to 12 months. So our research was conclusive to what we found in our lit review. And then we wanted to look at what are the main health concerns from the homeless themselves. What are they concerned about for their health? And for men, we found that dental was one of the top concerns. And then one of the second concerns was smoking. I don't know why it's okay. Well, one of the top concerns for men is smoking, and then right after that, vision was the next concern. And now we have women. Dental is also a top concern for, I don't know why it's going without me pushing, but dental was a top concern for women, as well as women's health and vision were other concerns. And this, you can kind of see both groups. So you can see dental, it was top concern for both groups, and then you can see smoking was a bigger concern for men versus women, women being blue and men being yellow. And then you can see with women's health versus men's health, women seemed a lot more concerned about their health than men with their health. And what we thought some of the reasons for this is just the nature of homelessness. It tends to be more opportunities for women to get off the streets, to get into transitional living shelters, and to kind of be moving toward taking better care of their health. And a lot of men live in kind of situations where they're just concerned about their short-term necessities, food, shelter, things of that nature. Okay. Next, we looked at, do they know where to go to get affordable health care? So we separated the groups between those that were insured versus those that were uninsured. So for the uninsured group, you can see that there was 34 that said yes, they know where to go, and the 17 that said no, they don't know where to go to receive affordable health care. And then for the next group, for the uninsured, you can see that 7 said yes, they know where to, I'm sorry, 18 said yes, they know where to go, and 30, I'm sorry, the slides are going ahead of me, say no, they do not know where to go. And just comparing the two groups, we got what we expected. We expected to see more of the insured to say yes, they know where to go, and less of the uninsured to say no, they don't know where to go for services. But one thing that surprised us is with the uninsured group that there was still a large population of them who knew where to go for services. So what we're possibly attributing this to is ER use, because we didn't specify in this question whether you were going to a primary health clinic or whether you were going to the emergency room. So a lot of homeless consider that their primary care, going to the ER. And this is actually something that I'm working on for my field practicum, as we're looking at ER usage among the homeless population. Okay, the next question we looked at, we wanted to see, what does dental care look like in the homeless population? Is this something they're able to access? And we found out that that's something that's extremely hard to access. Out of 100, only 23 were able to know where to go for dental care. And then, okay, there we go. Okay, so you can see 77 said no, they don't know where to go for dental care. So we can see that the major majority of the pie don't know where to go when they have dental care needs. And then next we looked at eye care. We wanted to see how much of the homeless population knew where they could go to receive affordable eye care. And we're going to go back. Uh-oh. Okay. Knew where they could go to receive affordable eye care. So we saw that 83% of the 100 surveyed said they don't know where to go. So this is an area that definitely needs more resources. Then we looked at modes of transportation, so how do the homeless get around within San Bernardino? And we saw that more than half use the bus. Then after that, we have foot, and then we have bicycle. Then we wanted to see what are the barriers for the homeless accessing healthcare. And the number one barrier was the cost of healthcare. Then after that, lack of transportation, and then they don't know where to go to receive the services that they need. Now for our qualitative results. These are just some of the themes that we saw in our key informant interviews with our service providers that I mentioned earlier. And some of the themes we saw is the need for centralization of services. A lot of the services within San Bernardino are outside of the city, and the vast majority of the homeless population is within downtown San Bernardino. So it's really challenging for them to be able to access services. The next, drug and rehab facilities, was something mentioned by the director of the Central City Lutheran Mission. He said that a lot of the men are struggling with drug addictions, and some of them are hard drug addictions, so it's really difficult for them to be able to get off these drugs on the streets. And the drug and rehab facilities just don't have the capacity to deal with those who have those issues. And then for mental health services, slash funding is another issue within the homeless population. And then increased primary care and preventative care. Just a lot of homeless come in with things like diabetes at late stages within their care. And we're going to continue to the next slide. For our homeless, some of the things we saw just that correlated with the service providers was better connection to services, as well as the need for more drug and rehab facilities, and then more access to transportation, which we saw from our quantitative portion was a big barrier for them accessing services. And then finally, for our recommendations, we had the idea of developing care scholarships. So these would be scholarships that would be at the different primary health care clinics within San Bernardino, that they would already have an allotment for when homeless came in who couldn't afford care. They could have, they could still receive the care because they already have a reserve of funds to treat those. And then for transportation solutions, one of the things we thought, because transportation was a major problem, is having bus cards available. So working with the Omnibus system, which is the bus system in San Bernardino, to have them donate cards so that the homeless would be able to receive a card if they need follow-up visits and receive further care. And then the centralization of information about services was another need, and our idea was during the point in time survey to use that as an opportunity to let homeless know about the different services that are available and to pass that out during the while they are doing the point in time count. And lastly, this is something that one of our group members is actually working on, is a year-round transitional shelter for men. This is what she's doing for her field practicum with the Central City Lutheran Mission. And these are my references, and these are some of the people who helped us make this project possible: our teacher's assistant, our faculty advisor, the different organizations in San Bernardino, and of course, street medicine. And that concludes my presentation. We're going to take questions at the end.
Anything specific to the street medicine presentation?
Well, it was the term women's health. So it kind of differed from the different situations. Sometimes we would actually sit with the homeless, and depending on if they felt confident, they could do the survey themselves, or we would sit with them and we would go through and, you know, go through the questions with them. So if you were sitting with them, then we would explain that if they needed more explanation. But for those who did it on them, did it for themselves, it just said women's health. So it was however they interpreted it. Yes.
So I actually think this is really cool, huh? It's, you know, I supervise a lot of them. Since they're not music. I'm trying to find school now. But so I thought it was actually, you know, credit to you and to the faculty that designed it. I think it was really well done. But so a couple of thoughts, though. So I work with this population, and in fact, I'm a resident for them in the one-stop program. So if you look in, so for the past 6 months, you have a spike, and then 1 to 2 years, you know, I think of it almost like a length of residency on the street. A sense of what that might mean, by what age group. This might be other ways to get a better appreciation for who's in your group, and maybe help direct services a little bit more pointedly. Also, we find with veterans, we have other opportunities that we can take advantage of, but I want to bring that up.
Okay.
No,
I'm not.
And perhaps you can bring back to your faculty or another student group or something that you were still at the university and wanted to mentor another student project.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking there's enough variables to capture enough here to try to refill that index for that catchment area and have a sense, because you really did a nice job of that. I think you can do a lot more with the data. So thank you.
Okay. And actually, I wanted to wait till the end of your presentation because I didn't want to throw you off, but Rhonda and her authors get the Caucus on Homelessness Student Award for Best Abstract this year.